Well, it's good to see you this morning. Amen. It's good to be alive and going this morning. And I thank God for this meeting. It's been a blessing. I enjoyed last night that mush the bag. Praise God, I'll tell you right now, it's what we need to do, isn't it? You know, just keep on keeping on. You know, preacher, I was thinking about last night, about me preaching last night. Brother Brown said something about me preaching with pneumonia. But I'll tell you something that convicted me is there's a fellow, I think he lives in South Carolina now. As a matter of fact, he don't live too far from my son's people down there. And this man played Jack Youngblood. He played in the 1979 Super Bowl. He played for the Rams, Los Angeles Rams, and they were playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this fella broke his leg. Now listen to this, a few weeks before the Super Bowl, I remember hearing him say this. They asked him, well, you know, you're gonna miss the Super Bowl. He said, I ain't missing no Super Bowl. He said, I'm playing no matter what, broke leg or not broke leg. Now think about that. And they went in there and put steel things around his cast. And the best he could, that man got out there and played with a bone broke in his leg. And that probably wasn't his main bone where he could, but he played in that Super Bowl. And I just thought about that. I'll be honest with you. If a man can do that over a football, if he can do that over a football, bless God, I ought to be able to do a little more than I'm doing. You see what I'm saying? Over the cause of Christ. You know, the day will come when I won't be able maybe to do what I'm doing now. And I want to give it all I got.
Amen.
While I got the strength to do it. And I know you got to work smart. You have to work smart, you know, and do things with good sense. But I'll tell you, I feel good enough. I mean, I feel good enough to try to preach. And the doctor, boy, he got all over me yesterday, you know, about doing it. You know, but a man, if you're pastoring a church, and you got a lot of responsibilities, man, you can't just lay everything down and say, well, look, I think I'll take off 2 or 3 weeks. You can't do that stuff. Or I can't. I never could. And I was reading the other day. Let me tell you this. I was reading the other day about an old preacher way back yonder, and he was talking about resting. Brother Brown, he said he liked to take long vacations. Now, this was, I'm trying to think of his name. I'll think of it in a minute. And he said he'd take off 2 months. And I thought, man, I can't hardly keep mine going, working 7 days a week. Amen. And I said, man, if you left for 2 months, you come back, it wouldn't even be a building there. Amen. But you know, you got to do what you can, you know. And so I'm trying to do what I can. I enjoyed last night hearing Brother Brown, and I love the preacher here. Let me tell you, I love his attitude and his spirit. Don't you?
Yeah,
I'll tell you, I do. I love him. Yeah. Thank God for him. Well, listen, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke. I'm gonna try to just preach some here, and get out of the way. And let the real preacher come here. Luke 17. And I'm going to preach out of verses 11 through 19. And just let me say thank you for everything. Thank you, preacher, for that nice room over there at the sleep in. And, buddy, that's what I done when I got in last night. I didn't feel too good when I left here. When my head hit the pillar, I don't even remember it. And that's good. I like sleep like that, don't you? And the Lord let me rest last night. I feel a little better this morning. Luke 17, verse number 11. And it says in verse number 11, and it came to pass, as he went through Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And I'm going to preach to you this morning on this thought. The wonder of it all. Have you lost the wonder of it all?
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Father, I pray today that you would help me now And I thank you for this good meeting, this good camp meeting, and for this faithful pastor. God's been here all these years and has a vision and a burden, God, for this. Now, Lord, today, help me, God, to be a blessing. I want to be, and Lord, I pray you'll just help me to, God, to just preach, God, with power. And I pray you'd help Brother Brown as he comes, Lord, to preach with power. Thank you for this good music in this place. It's such a blessing. And Lord, thank you for it. Bless it, Lord, throughout the remainder of the service. Bless this camp meeting this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here in this chapter, in this part of the chapter, Jesus was spotted by 10 men who were lepers. And of course, you know, leprosy is a disease that, as far as I know, even today, there is no cure for leprosy. There's not a cure for it. And it's a type of sin. You know, God has to heal you. If you get healed of it, God has to heal you. And you know, back in the Old Testament, he gave all those different things and those different things about if God did heal you, to go and show yourself to the priest and all of that. Well, these 10 men here, they saw Jesus and they cried out, "Jesus, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us." And you know, they weren't allowed, these lepers weren't allowed to come around their family or anything. I mean, they were contagious. And I can see them crying out unclean. One of them said, "That's Jesus." And they began to cry, "Jesus, have mercy on us." In verse number 13, it said, when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." You know what that meant? It's over. I mean, you're clean. And he said, and it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. The sister sung about faith a while ago. That's exactly what they did. They had to have faith. He said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And when they turned and started that direction, they were cleansed. And the Bible said, and one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Now only one turned back, it says, towards Jesus. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed?" Now, so here's the thing. There was 10 of them that were all cleansed. Brother Ennis, 10 was cleansed. But only one come back. You know what I think about that? Listen, you know what I think about that? I think about sometimes you get out here, you win people to Christ. And you know what? You'll be doing good if you get one out of 10 that'll really get in your church and get plugged in. Amen? I mean, that'll get in church and get excited about the things of God. But the truth of it is, don't let it discourage you. Don't let it discourage you about soul winning, because the truth of it is, there were 10 that were cleansed. Amen. You know, I've got people coming to my, that I've led to Christ, that I bumped into them, thought they didn't amount to anything, bumped into them there in a church in our county, or maybe in the next county. They're in church somewhere, been going, said, "Oh yeah, I'm going Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday." They didn't come to my church, but that don't mean they wasn't cleansed.
Yes,
amen. Amen. That don't mean they wasn't cleansed. I wish they'd all come. If all of them come that we'd talk to and led to Jesus, we'd be in a building program all the time, just like you would here. I mean, you'd be building buildings constantly. But the truth of it is, not all of them come back. Now, I'm going to show you something. But that one did. Thank God for that one that came back. And Jesus asked the question, were there not 10 cleansed? Now, he knew there was. But he was saying to that one, were there not 10? And where is the 9? Where's the other 9? That has not come back to give glory to God. Now, let me tell you where I think they were. I think they're like a lot of people that they get saved, but they get over it.
Amen.
They lose the wonder of what God did. They're still saved, but they get past that thing. You know what we ought to do is we ought to keep it on our mind about what God did. Amen. And what God's a-doing. You know, many times this one here, thank God for him that came back and fell down. I think about, you know, sometimes on the radio, being on the radio. I got a letter from a fellow the other day. And you know, no doubt there's hundreds of people, thousands of people listening, but not too many will call you. Not too many will write you. But thank God for that one that does every now and then. I was telling the preacher before the service that I got a letter, not a letter, but a phone call the other day from an old boy, Brother Ricky, down in Missouri. that listened to me on a little bitty station that's got the internet, and this fella called, and he said, I'm shut in. I'm a cripple and sick, and I'm shut in, and I never get out. But I want you to know, he said, I hear you every day on the radio. And I want you to know what a blessing that you are. You know what that did? That made me want to go grab a radio microphone and start preaching away. Amen? You say, why? Because that one that come back. You know what? Thank God for that one neighbor that does not lose the wonder of it all. Let me ask you, have you lost the wonder of your salvation? You know what? Don't ever get over the fact God saved you. I mean, listen. Luke chapter 10, verse 20, the disciples come back one day and they were shouting and praising God because they had run into a man that had demonic spirits on him. And these men, these disciples, cast him out of this man. They come back, and verse 20, Jesus said this, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. He said, but rather rejoice because your name is written down in the Lamb book of life. Hey, your name's written down in heaven. Listen to it. Hey, do you know what? It's like he said last night. It's like Brother Brown said last night. It ain't going to be that every day something happens that's just going to put you on the mountaintop. Hey, but you know what? You can always get on the mountaintop that your name's written down in the Lamb's book of life. Hey, I'm so saved it's pitiful. Amen? Hey, listen. I'm so saved, like old Billy Kelly used to say, I could swing out over hell on a rotten corn stalk singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, and there ain't nothing he can do about it. I am saved. Amen? My name's written down there, eternally written down with the blood of Jesus. My name's in the Lamb's book of life. And you know, don't ever get over that. Don't ever get over. You know, I heard a story about an old boy in the 1800s that was on a passenger train out west and out in the western states. And this guy was in his early 20s and was on this train sitting by himself, looking out the windows, the train's going. And if you've been out in the West, a lot of it's just desert and all that. And I like that. I really do. I like all that that red clay and them red rocks and all that. I mean, I like the West. But this old boy was looking out the windows, and he was sitting by himself. And every now and then he'd say, glory to God. Praise the Lord, sitting by himself. And he'd say, what about that? Thank God. And so these men, four of them sitting back here in another booth, sitting there together playing cards. And one of them said to the other, I wonder what's wrong with that fellow up there. I wonder what's wrong with him. And they said, I don't know. Said, he must be half crazy, you know. Said, I wonder what's wrong with him. And this one said, I get up and go back there in a little bit. I'm going to stop and ask him what he's praising God about. So sure enough, this old boy went back and he's going to the men's room and he walks back and he said, son, let me ask you something. He said, me and my buddy sitting right back here and we keep hearing you up here shouting and hollering, amen and glory to God and all that. Said, what's going on with you? He said, well, sir, it's easy for me to tell you. He said, when I was a little boy, he said, I was blind and about all I could see was just a little bit of light. And he said, and my daddy sold our farm and moved into a town where there was a good hospital and a good doctor, and took me to this doctor. He examined me and told my mom and daddy that he believed with an operation and the help of God that I could see. And so they chanced it and sold everything and moved there and put their boy in this hospital. And this old doctor operated on him. And days went by. The patches were on his eyes. And so now the time comes, they're going to take these patches off. And Brother Brown, he said the first thing he saw, he said when they took them patches off, was the face of his mother. Yes. And the face of his daddy. He said, that's the first thing I'd ever seen. Yes. That I seen my mother and my daddy that loved me so much that they sold the farm to pay for my ability to be able to see. And then he said, I saw the old doctor. And he said, everybody was crying. And then he said, I got to squalling. And I got to crying. And he said, I looked around and here's a brand new world. Everything I seen for the first time. And he said, sir, he said, you see, what might not be beautiful to you out these windows? He said, for the first 12 years of my life, I didn't see anything. He said, but now, he said, I see you. And he said, I've never got over the fact that once I was blind and now I see. Oh, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, once was lost. but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You know what? That old boy never got over the fact that once he was blind, now he can see. We ought to be the same way. Hey, we ought to be the same way. Never get over the fact that you're saved. You know what? Psalm 132:16. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Oh, let me tell you, we ought to be happy. Some of you preachers I know probably read that book about old Billy Bray, the old preacher that shouted everywhere he went. And they said that Billy was so happy in the Lord that when he raised one foot, it seemed to say amen. And he said, when I'd raise the other, and it said glory. And old Billy said he just went around all the time saying glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. And said one man one day said to him, said, Billy, listen, what if you die and wake up one day in hell and all this wasn't real? And Billy said, I'm going to shout glory, hallelujah, till they throw me out. Amen. That's pretty good, isn't it? Hey, you know something, friend? We ought to be happy Christians. We ought to not get over the fact that one day God saved us by His amazing grace. Don't get over salvation. Don't lose the wonder of being saved. Then let me say this. Don't lose the wonder of God sending an answer to prayer. Oh, don't ever get over the fact that God sends answers to prayer. You know what God's telephone number is? I believe everybody in America has got mine. I really do. Brother Brown, I get calls, I mean, from people, and I ain't got no idea how they got my phone number. They call me, they say, oh, yeah, I've had your number. I mean, I've got them, you just wouldn't believe it. I've got, everybody's got my number, I believe. And that's okay, but sometimes it keeps you busy, don't it? And, but you know, God, everybody's got His number.
Yes.
You know something? His number is JER333. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hey, listen, call unto me, and I'll answer you. Now, I thank God that God don't have it like this when you call unto Him, and He says, I'm sorry. I'm busy at this time and unable to receive your call. You call back and or hang on the line and an operator will get your call. I'm glad God don't do that. You know what He said? He said, call unto me and I will answer. He ain't got some scrawny angel, a bit on half rations, amen, and a moth-eaten robe and run-over shoes. Jesus said, I'll answer. You call me and I will answer you. Hey, I'm glad that God hears and answers prayer. I really am. I've seen God do some things like you preachers have that stayed and watched God do some things for us there around the church. It's unbelievable. The Lord's been good to us. And we've watched God back in the early days when I went to Trinity Baptist Church. Brother, we owed a huge debt and the offerings was $1,000 a week. Now that was to pay all the bills of the church and then to pay me a salary of $185 a week. And I had two children and one on the way. I tell you what, that don't leave much grocery money there, you know. But hey, let me tell you what happened. We prayed, and let me tell you what God did. God always took care of every single need. I mean, every need, God would meet the need. But let me tell you something. If God was able to take old Elijah down there by that brook of Cherith and had that water hole there for him to drink his water, had him a place there to rest, and he'd send them ravens twice a day. Old Brother Roloff said, you ain't supposed to eat three times a day, only twice, Brother Brown. He said, if you're supposed to eat three times a day, God would have sent them ravens three times a day. You know how Brother Roloff was. But he said he sent them ravens in there two times a day with biscuits from heaven's kitchen and fed his man. And let me tell you, friend, God knows what we need, don't he? See, God knows what we need. God sends answers. God sends answers to prayer. You know, here a few years ago, it's been, I don't know how many years ago, but we built a gymnasium. That we needed it for our Christian school. We needed it for our Sunday school and all of that. And you know, I'm not much of a businessman. I'll be honest with you, I'm not. And if I called our bank that we done business with. We pay all of our bills on time and all that. But I just knew God wanted us to build that building. And I called the bank that we do business with. We got an excellent credit rating and paid all of our bills all these years on time. And I called down there and asked to speak to the president of the bank. And they put me on with them. And I said, look, I need $1 million. Just like that, we need to borrow $1 million. And it got quiet on the other end. And he said, well, preacher, He said, you know, we're fixing to maybe merge with another bank. And I'm not sure we can let you have it. And this is what I said. I said, well, I was wanting y'all to get in on this. It's going to be good. I said, God done give me the green light to build this building. And I thought maybe y'all wanted to get in on it. And you know what he said? He said, well, I'll see what I can do. He called me back in a day or two and said, no, we ain't going to be able to do it. And we got to praying about this thing, And you know that, listen, there was a man in my church that had a realtor company that a brand new man, a brand new president of a bank had just come. He had just got there. And this man was doing business with him, and he told him what we was trying to do. He said, I'd like to meet you, preacher. And he brought that fella up there one day. He brought that president of that bank up there. And he come in and looked over what we had and all of that and wanted to see our, you know, wanted to see what we're about, what our offerings and stuff was. And I witnessed to him. I said, you saved? He said, yeah, I'm saved. I said, well, I know you want us to build this building. He said, I do. I said, well, let's do this. I said, how about you and me and Turling get down right here to the Lord's Supper table down here and let's have a prayer meeting. Let's me and you and him pray right now. And you know what we did? We prayed, and that man got him, had tears in his eyes. He said, preacher, I know. He said, I don't know. You don't know a lot about this. But he said, I'm going to take this to the board. I believe we can help you. And you know what? It wasn't but a few days that God used that man and us praying. I had people praying, and God used that thing. That man called us up and gave us every nickel we needed. Yeah. You see what I'm trying to say? Amen. I didn't even know him. I'd never done any business at that bank. And God sent that man in by people praying to meet the needs. Let me show you something else. Hey, you know that the offerings, you preachers ever been where your offerings, listen, just look like, we had about 3 or 4 weeks there, about 3 or 4 weeks in a row, that the offerings for some reason was just way off. It's winter time, all the leaves off the trees, everything dead, and it raining, wind blowing. I come in there one Monday morning, and Sandy Lucas was our treasurer at that time. I said, Sandy, was the offerings good yesterday? She said, preacher, to tell you the truth, they wasn't that good. And we've been praying. Wasn't that good. And so I got in my truck. I had some hospital visits to make. And I took off towards Forsyth Hospital, pouring the rain, you know them kind of more, and got over there and made my visits, started back. And I thought, I'm going to stop in this sheet to get me a cup of coffee. And I got in there, and you're feeling a little bit sorry for yourself, you know, and just saying, well, where's God in all this? Let me tell you something. I've been praying for God to take care of the needs. Listen to what I'm going to tell you here. I got up and pulled up in front of that sheets, and I mean the rain was coming down in sheets. It was just a pouring, you know. And I'm sitting there waiting for it to let up enough where I could walk in there to get me my coffee. And a little minivan pulled in, and right here between us there was a trash can, Brother Ennis, that was made out of stainless steel, and it had a light under it here with a little hood over top of that light. You've seen them fancy trash cans, you know, with a hood over it. And under there, right before they pulled in that van, I seen a little bird up under there, right where that light was. No doubt he was maybe getting a little bit of heat off that light. And he was just up under there by himself. And it pouring the rain, and he was under there in that shelter, and just looking around. A little girl jumped out of that van. A little girl jumped out of that van and started to run in there. It was early morning, and she had her bowl of Cheerios she'd been eating in that van. And when she jumped out, she ran by that trash can and just slung that bowl at that trash can, and it went in. But a lot of them Cheerios slid up under there where that bird was. Well, that bird flew out of there and made a loop and come right back and landed on top of them Cheerios. There's already milk soaked, you know. And that old bird landed on top of him, Brother Brown, and he was pecking on them Cheerios and just looking around. And God didn't say it audible, but you know what I'm talking about. It seemed like that God reminded me right there, son, you consider this a little sparrow. You look right over yonder, and you look at him. He didn't put them Cheerios there, and he didn't listen. But I put that trash can there, and I designed it with that lid on it to keep him dry, and them Cheerios was to feed him and take care of him. You keep walking with me, and you pray to me, and you trust me, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to take care of you. If I love that bird enough to pay his bills and take care of him, bless God, I love you enough to take care of you. And you know what I did? I was sitting there in that truck having my own care. camp meeting, a squalling and slapping the stern wheel for joy that God hears and answers prayer. And God shows us sometimes what we need to see and what God's going to do. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. Hey, God sends answers to prayer. My mother, God bless her. Her health's bad, but years ago she had cancer. My mother had cancer and colon cancer. And then she had a mass besides that colon cancer, the way the doctor described, he said, is this big. I remember driving from here to West Virginia, walked in my mama's room and was there and hadn't been there but a few minutes. That doctor come in. He said, we're going to take about a foot and a half of your colon out. But he said, I'm not really worried about that. Now, that's colon cancer. He said, I'm not too much worried as much about the colon cancer as I am this mass. He said, it's huge, and we're going to let you heal up after the colon cancer. And then he said, we're going to come back, and I got another doctor that's going to help me with this other. And he said, ma'am, I'm just going to be honest with you. It's not good. And you could tell basically what he was telling her. I ain't sure if I can do anything with it, what he was telling her. And my old mama sitting up on the edge of the bed looked at that doctor, and he was from over in the Middle East somewhere, you know. And she looked at him, and she said, well, doctor, let me tell you something. I'm a member of a praying church. And this is my son right here, and he's a preacher. And his church will pray, and we're going to pray that God touches me.
Amen.
And you know what he did? He was standing there. I'll never forget it as long as I live. He went like this. Psh. Psh. She said, well, he will. And the old doctor said, well, I'll be in touch with you. And he was going to have surgery, and he was going to do the surgery. And he said, then I'll get back with you about this. He walked out of the room. Mama looked at me and said, well, I believe God touched me. I said, Mama, I believe you will too. Anyhow, long story short, she had the cancer, colon cancer, healed up enough that she come back, and they was going to do x-rays. Now, they done had x-rays with the mass, but they want to do some more. And he told her that. And we was a-praying. My church was fervently praying about it. Her church was a-praying. God was touched. I mean, we was begging God to touch her. And my sister that's in heaven now that died of cancer took her to the doctor up there to get them x-rays. And Lisa was in the waiting room. My mama is being rolled in there for them x-rays. And the little nurse that was taking her in there, my mother asked her if she's saved. She said, I am saved. I'm a Christian. My mama said, you believe in prayer? She said, yes, I believe in prayer. She said, well, we've been praying that God touch me and heal me of this mass. And my mother said, do you pray? And that woman said, yes. She said, would you do me a favor? Would you pray for me before we go in here? And that little old nurse, mama said, laid her hand on my back and said, man, she prayed. Said she prayed. She said, I never had anybody ask me to pray like this, but I will pray. And so that little nurse prayed, and they rolled Mom in there and took them x-rays and brought her back out. You remember how they used to take them old x-rays and hang them up to the light? Remember that? I don't know if they still do that or not, but they did then. And they put them x-rays up there. Nurse did. She got on the phone, called the doctor. The same doctor now, same one, came up there. And when he came up there and started looking at them x-rays, he and my mother's laying there on her stomach, and she said that doctor said, I don't believe it. He said, I don't believe it. Mama said, it scared me because he didn't say what he didn't believe. And said, he said, get Dr. So-and-so, the doctor's going to help her. Said, get him up here. I want him to look at this too. And a little bit, he walked out of the room, come back in with him. He said, look right here. Here's the x-rays that we did. These are the old x-rays. Here's the mass. And he said, right here, he says, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And my mama said, sort of cocked up on her side a little bit and said, I told you, Doc, that we got to pray in church and to pray in people. She said he didn't say a word, just walked out. Hey, let me tell you something. Her health ain't good today, but let me tell you something, friend. That God touched her of that, and she's never had another problem with it. Now, let me tell you, that ain't always the case. Sometimes God has answered no and simply says, my grace is sufficient for thee. That's right. But let me tell you something, friend. I believe many times we don't see God move because we don't pray and we don't ask. You have not because you ask not, James chapter 4, verse 2. But don't get over the wonder of God sending answers to prayer. Then let me say this right here. Have you not only lost the wonder of God sending an answer to prayer, but have you lost the wonder of the love and the Savior? You know what? Let me tell you something. If everybody in this room, if everybody in this room and everybody in my church and me included, if we was deeply in love with Jesus, it would eliminate 99% of our church problems. Hey, Brother Brown, you know, sometimes I've been in meetings with preachers and they'd say, Brother Cox, if you could one night, why don't you preach on soul winning? I can't, my people, they good people, but they won't win souls. That's just a symptom of the real problem. You know what the real problem is? If they love God, they'd win people. They'd talk to people. See, Jesus, you remember old Simon Peter, whenever he backslid and took the rest of them with him and he was out there fishing on that boat and Jesus showed up on the shore? Remember that? And he got out there and Jesus said, children, have you any meat? They said, no. And he said, cast your nets on the right side of the boat. In other words, get right with God and you'll get fish. That's what he was saying. And when they come in, do you know what? Jesus didn't jump on them. He didn't jump on them for not soul winning or not tying them. You know what he did? He fed them, and then Jesus got around to the one that had the real problem. He walked around, and here was what Jesus said to him. Lovest thou me?
Amen.
More than these. And Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. And then the second time, I'd like to ask you another question. Peter, lovest thou me? And then the third question, lovest thou me? And he said, lovest thou me? He said, then get back to feeding my sheep. Get back to feeding my lambs. You know what he was saying? The problem is a love problem. And when we get to where we don't love the Savior, what did he tell that church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation chapter 2? They was a fundamental church. That was a fundamental church. They was fundamental. And brother, let me tell you today, I'm an old-fashioned, fundamental, independent Baptist preacher. Hey, I'm forever standard and for the Bible and soul winning the King James Bible and standing for the old-time religion. I love it. I love it. But listen to me. Sometimes we can be fundamental, but we've left our first love. And we're just going through the motions and we're doing what's right. But brother, it's a whole lot easier when you grease the axles with love. Amen. I mean, listen, to be in love with Him, to love Jesus, to love Him like we ought to love it. You know something? Your first love. You know, back yonder in 1972, I was going to high school there in Shady Spring High School. Preacher, you was already pastoring this church. But I was in high school. And I met a young girl in high school, Shady Spring High School, named Marilyn Bragg. She's sitting right over here. And I witnessed to her in 1972 and led her to Jesus.
Amen.
And led her to Jesus. And in 73, I got out of high school. I was 18 years old and I married her. We got married in 1973. And you know what, though? When I met her, let me tell you something. I was in love. And I'm still in love. I mean, I'm more in love now than I was then. And I had it bad then. You know what? Back in them days, there wasn't no cell phones. Nobody didn't have cell phones. Now, you take fifth graders walking around talking on them. Man, we was glad to just have one in the house. There, we went for years and years. Years didn't have a phone in the house either. But we got a phone, and she said, I'm going to spend the summer with my sister in Indiana. Well, I wanted to, you know, to talk to her and see her, but I knowed better than to make a phone call. My daddy, she'd have come back and visited my grave, man, if he'd have got a big bill like that, you know, all of that, long-distance phone calls. But every day, just about every day, I'd write her a letter. We lived on a little old farm up there in West Virginia, and you know what I did? I went to the post office every day but Sunday, and I'd go and check for letters from her. And I'd go in there, Brother Brown, and I'd say, is there any mail for the Cox family? Old lady run the thing, she'd hand me a little gob of mail with a rubber band around. And boy, I'd pull that rubber band off, and I'd start going through that mail. I'll tell you right now, friend, I wasn't looking for a bill or a magazine from Montgomery Ward's. I wasn't looking for the grit. I wasn't looking for nothing. I wasn't looking for any kind of papers or magazines or nothing. I was looking for one thing, and that was a letter from the one I loved. Hey, let me tell you something. Remember when you got saved and you loved Jesus? Every day you picked up His love letter? Let me tell you, this is the greatest love letter that's ever been written in the history of the world right here. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. When you're saved and you love Jesus, you'll love His book. Amen? listen, and you'll love to fellowship with him. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Hey, remember old Cleophas and his wife walking on the road to Emmaus? Remember when they was walking home and they was walking on the road to Emmaus and a stranger, they thought, stepped out of the shadows, began to walk with them, and he began to open up scriptures to them, talk. And he said, why are you sad today? Why is your countenance fallen? Why are you sad? They said, you not heard? He said, heard about what? They said, Jesus of Nazareth is crucified. And as they walked, he began to whet their appetite, didn't he? And when he got to the fork of the road, he made as though he would have went on. But Cleophas said, come on home with him. Mary can fix something up here just in a little bit. And we'll have some food on the table. And me and you can talk. And when they got in there, the Bible said their eyes were holden. And when they got in there, Jesus began to open up. And brother, let me tell you, it was the Word incarnate talking to him, was it not? And he was, brother, he was putting it on. And I mean, they was taking it. And then listen, he vanished when their eyes opened. He vanished out of their sight. And old Cleophas and his wife, I can see them dancing around the kitchen table, him hugging her and kissing her and the tears flowing. And he said this, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way. Let me tell you, he got a heartburn Tums couldn't take care of. Amen. Let me tell you something, friend. When you love Jesus, you won't have no trouble putting your tithe in the plate here. Hey, you'll want to give. You'll want to give. Oh, let me tell you, when you love Jesus, you'll want to give your tithes and offerings. You won't dread when a missionary comes through and the preacher takes up a special offering. You won't dread that. Say, why? Because you're in love. You know what? When I met this girl over here, and listen, and I was making a little bit of money, not much. I was making $1.95 an hour, and they paid you every 2 weeks. I'll tell you right now, friend, you won't get rich on that. Amen? But you know what? I wouldn't have thought a thing, and she never did mention anything, but if she'd have said anything, she liked it or would like to have this or that, I'd have done everything in my power to God. But you know why? I was in love with her to the point money didn't matter. Man, listen, what mattered is her. And it's still like that. I told her yesterday, and here she sat. You ask her. I said, sweetheart, I love you so much, I'd do anything for you. Anything that you'd want that I could possibly produce it for you, I would. But friend, we ought to stay in love with Jesus.
Amen.
That way to where whatever he wants. I mean, listen, if God told me to resign my church and go to Mexico as a missionary or go to India or wherever God told me to go, listen, we're bought with a price. We're not our own, but we ought to be in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then let me say, have you lost the wonder of service? Oh, let me tell you, remember how happy you was first time that the preacher ever asked you to do anything. Ah, let me tell you. You know what Paul said? Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:12, he said, I thank God that he hath counted me faithful and put me in the ministry. Let me tell you something. I hear all these stories, Brother Brown, about fellas, you know, running from God and all that. I didn't run from him. I couldn't believe that he was dealing with me. I just wanted to make sure. I didn't want to get in and do something that God wasn't in. I was just trying to make sure. But you know what? I'm tickled to death God put me in the ministry.
Yes, amen.
I'm glad he did. I'll be honest with you. I just can't believe it. I pinch myself to see if it's still real that God loved me so much he'd reach down in the depths of sin and pick me up and set my feet on the solid rock and establish my going and put a skip in my heel and a song in my heart. I'm glad he did. But I'm glad one day he said, son, I'd like for you to preach for me. Oh, let me tell you something. You know something? When I first got called to preach, I went to the Haven of Mercy Rescue Mission and asked them, could y'all use a preacher? And he said, yeah, Tuesday night. Oh, listen. Man, I thought I was John R. Rice or Jack Hiles or somebody. I thought I done got a regular place to preach. And I'd take my old guitar down there, preacher, and I'd strum out them old gospel songs and stand there to about a dozen men sitting on a mission bench. And brother, I'd preach if I had 5,000 in front of them. I'd preach, and then they come up and said, look, we had another preacher drop out on Friday night. Can you come two nights a week? I said, well, I'd be glad to come two nights a week.
Yes.
You see, let me tell you something, friend. I was so glad to just be a part of anything God wanted me to do. And let me tell you, God knows it's still the same way. I don't take it light that God has given me. And listen, if you're a Sunday school teacher, you ought to feel that way, that thank God He's using me. I sing in this choir. I sing specials. I clean the buildings. I mow the grass. I work in the nursery. Whatever it is, man, you're in the King's business. Amen. I mean, don't lose the wonder if you're in the King's business, my dear friend. Oh, let me say the wonder of service. I thank God I hadn't lost the wonder of being able to serve God. Then let me ask you this. Have you lost the wonder of souls being saved? Soul winning. Oh, let me tell you. You know something that bothers me, and I'm going to be honest with you, preacher. Brother Ennis, I've not been saved and in the ministry as long as you have. But you know what? When I got saved back under Brother Ricky in 1969, when I got saved, do you know that little old church where I got saved in, something that was there that I don't see nowhere much anymore? Preacher, when the preacher preached and he'd mentioned family members and neighbors and people being lost, people come to the altar and listen. You could hear people out loud bawling and squalling over their neighbors and over their family. I mean, we had carpet about the color of this on the floors and on the altar, just like you do on the steps. And I remember getting up as a new convert off of the altar and looking and seeing spots that big where people had literally knelt down there and wept till the floor looked like you'd poured a glass of water out. And you know what? Psalm 126, 5 and 6 said, they that sow in tears. Can I ask you a question? Where is our tears?
Amen.
We don't, listen. Today, let me tell you why we ain't winning souls. We ain't broken. Brother, I had an old boy that got saved in a church up there. My wife, as a matter of fact, and Jane McGee led this boy to Christ, and he went to high school with me. Old Terry Worley got saved. And he hadn't been saved but a few weeks. And one night my phone rang at 2 a.m. in the morning. Brother, when you get a telephone call at 2 o'clock, it'll wake you. My phone rang. I picked it up. I said, hello. And on the other end of the line, this is the way it sounded. He said, I said, who is this? And he just said, oh, my God, they're lost. I said, who is this? He said, preacher, it's Terry. I said, Terry, what's the matter? He said, it's my brother Bill. It's Bill. I said, Terry, what's happened? He said, he's lost. And I can't sleep. He's lost. He's lost. He said, preacher, I didn't mean to call you at this morning, but I can't stand it. I'm dying if he don't get saved. He said, would you go with me tomorrow and talk to Bill? I said, I will. I hung the phone up. I couldn't go back to sleep. Listen to me. The next day we got in the car and started that way. And old Terry, he was just a new convert, hadn't been saved a month or two. And he said, preacher, now let me tell you, Bill's a Vietnam veteran. And he said, and Bill was rough. He said, he's a drinker. And he said, he's a hard worker, but said he's a drinker. And said, he's liable to just cuss us out and run us off the property. He said, but I've been going for days begging God to save me. And he said, I can't talk about it without weeping. I said, we'll be all right. We got up there and pulled up, and it was in the fall, and he was raking leaves. And we got out of the car and walked around the car, and this is the way Terry told him. He said, Brother Bill, his brother, he said, this is Darrell Cox, and he's here to talk to you about God. Just like that. Bill was raking leaves, and he leaned that rake up against the tree, looked at us and said, well, let's go in the house. I thought, well, buddy, we're already making progress. We didn't get run off. Went in the house, walked through the door, and he said, Jackie, come in here. We got company. And I remember her coming through, drying her hands on an apron. Can remember it just like it was yesterday. He said, this is Darrell Cox. And I said, Jackie, good to meet you. And we sit down and talk just a minute. And I said, well, Bill, let me tell you what we're here for. And I said, your brother called me at 2 o'clock this morning. And I said, he's a burden for you, Bill, about you being saved. And I said, Bill, I'm here to just tell you how to be saved. I'll never forget this, Brother Brown. Terry put his hands up over his face and sat there while I witnessed, and tears were squirting through his fingers, running down the back of his hands. And he was sitting there with his shoulders just shaking, just sitting there weeping. And while he was weeping, I was preaching. When I finished telling him the plan of salvation, told him about Jesus, I remember seeing that boy get up and walk over where I was at. And I was sitting in a chair, and he come over where I was at and got down on his knee beside my chair. And his wife come over there and got down there too. And they're still members of the church there. And bowed their heads and asked God to save them. And been faithful. You know what happened the next week? The next week, Terry called me again, crying, said, Preacher, my mom and daddy, they need to be saved. They need to be saved. And he said, would you please go? And I took Frank Pittman with me, and we drove out to their house and led Ma and Paul Worley to Jesus. You know what? Terry's in heaven now. His mother and daddy's in heaven now. He's got a son in heaven now. But you know something? Listen to me. You know why them people got saved? Because a man had a broken heart. We got over that.
Amen.
We've let all these things, Brother Ennis, we've let things creep in. And now you could stand up here and talk about Jesus on the cross and how he suffered and bled and died. I did it last Sunday. And you can talk about the nails that was driven in his hands and feet and the crown of thorns pressed down on his brow and how much that he loved you and loved me. And Brother, I'm going to tell you something. If you can get just two or three people that have shed a tear, you've done something. You know why, some way or other, our hearts has lost the compassion for sinners. And brother, we're calloused. We've lost the wonder. We've lost the wonder. Oh, listen to me. I'm asking you today. Listen, in some way or other, have you sort of moved? You know what? That over in Revelation chapter 3, and I've preached it before, Brother Ennis, that it's Jesus knocking on the heart of a sinner. But you know that's not true. He does knock on the door of the heart of a sinner. But that's really not the main thrust of that. He's knocking on the door of a church and saying to the church, let me in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man... Hey, think about this a minute. This is something. He's knocking on the door of a church, but he said this. After a while, he swaps gears and just said, if any man would open up.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, church ain't going to open up. I'm about convinced, David, a lot of churches are not going to open up. They don't want Jesus in them.
Right.
They don't want Jesus in the churches now. They want a bunch of mop-headed rock and roll and a bunch of junk, a bunch of this old newfangled stuff. Let me tell you something, friend. If ever in the history of the church we've ever needed Jesus, it's the day you're standing right here, right now. We ought to be in love with him and in love with sinners. And love, my friend, with him. He said, if any man open up, he said, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. Hey, the keys, don't lose the wonder. Hey, listen, I'll close with this. Gypsy Smith was a great old preacher. You know, he was a gypsy boy, and old Ira Sankey and Moody went over to the country where he was, and the people wouldn't allow the gypsies to come to the meetings. So Ira Sankey get his accordion and Moody, and they'd get a wagon with horses to take them out to the gypsy camps and go out there every day and preach. And one day, a little old black-headed, dark-eyed boy got saved out there with Moody and Sankey's out there. And it was going to be the last day of the meetings. Last day. And before he left, the little boy ran up to the side of the wagon and looked up in the face of old Ira Sankey and said, sir, would you pray for me that God would use me to preach like y'all have this week? Would you pray God would use me? And they said that big old heavy song leader reached over out of the wagon. Didn't get out of the wagon, but reached over and laid that big old thick hand on the head of that little gypsy boy. And he prayed, God, I pray you'll take this little gypsy boy and that you'll use him for the glory of God to preach the gospel.
Amen.
A few years later, as he growed up, one day, listen, the newspapers here in America said, gypsy crosses the waters to come to America. Man, what a preacher. What a preacher. Gypsy
Amen.
Smith, a great evangelist. And you know, when he got way up in years, he was preaching in a thing like a civic center, plumb filled every night with people in there. And they said, oh, Gypsy Smith was walking across that platform with that open Bible, tears streaming down his face. An old man still preaching with power and still preaching with excitement.
Amen.
They said a young preacher boy sat on the front row, about 20-year-old boy, and watched him every night and said, oh, Gypsy, preach, I mean, with the power of God. And the last night or so of the meeting, said that young preacher boy walked up and said, Gypsy thanked God for you and your preaching, but said, what in the world's the key? I mean, here you are, been preaching 50-some years, and you're still excited and still preach with a sparkle in your eye, and you still preach with power, and you still preach with tears, and you still preach with excitement. They said, what is it? And old Gypsy Smith, with tears in his eyes, looked at that young preacher and said, preacher, I'll tell you what it is. He said, I still feel that hand of Ira Sankey laying on my head.
Amen.
He said, I still feel the weight of his hand upon my head. He said, son, the key is I've never lost the wonder of it all. And that's where the song come from, the wonder of it all. Gypsy Smith said, I've never lost the wonder of it all.
Yes,
oh, my friend, some this morning ought to go back in your mind when you was on fire for God and in love with Jesus.
Yes,
and when, my friend, you spent time with God in prayer and spent time in your Bible and spent time meditating on Him and loving Him.
Amen.
And get back and get the wonder back. Amen. You know what? We get the wonder back. The joy of the Lord's your strength.
Amen.
Oh, let me tell you, brother, listen, it'll still give you what you need to get the job done with.
Amen.
May God help us.
Amen.
To not get over what God's done.
Amen.
May God help us. Brother, let me tell you something. We ought to love Jesus.
Amen.
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 Just love Him.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Our Father, I pray that, Lord, you'd use, Lord, the message today. Pray that you would. God bless us. Lord, I pray you speak to somebody's heart. Bless Brother Brown as he comes. In Jesus' name, amen.